Tune in to KBOO Wednesday, June 8th at 9 a.m. for the second installment of our podcast series on criminalization, produced by the Center for Intercultural Organizing. We'll hear stories about profiling, criminalization, and featured commentary by CIO staff. Again, that's the second program in our criminalization podcast series, one produced by the Center for Intercultural Organizing, Wednesday, June 8th at 9 a.m., here at your community radio station, KBOO Portland.
Stand by for Air Cascadia. Cascadia. Today is Monday, June 6th, 2016, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, real radio for real people at 90.7 FM and KBOO.fm on the web. Well, in what have we got in the way of weather? Well, basically hot, though a bit cooler and a bit overcast tomorrow. And otherwise, following that same pattern of temperatures in the 80s, possibly creeping up in the 90s today and then dropping down to the 50s for the evening, and same pattern persisting. It's funny, the National Weather Service must have got a memo that when it is extraordinary, hot, and it's going to be extraordinarily record-breakingly hot for a record-breaking number of days, that they ought not to panic people and just give them this news in little doses, you know, so you don't have a massive stampede to the Google to find out what's going on, or perhaps put the television on and see if they can straighten things out, because see, there are some alarming things going on, and they have alarming repercussions downstream, no pun intended. The water is too warm for fish. Now, what are you going to do about that? There is no technological fix for that. This they're going to have to punt to the Luddites again. It seems more frequently that's the case. Agribusiness, we know at this point, has failed. And we're going to have to be looking for new solutions. But they are actually being forced on us right now. Alternative methods of growing food are already taking shape. And we are heading into the era of farming without agriculture. Think of it. What a great concept. And on that note, we do have a quick note here before we speak with Dan Sears with Columbia Riverkeeper about what the hell is going on up in Mosier and why it had to happen. It isn't as though we didn't know that this was in the cards. Of course we did, but it's so you know, a question, of course, remains. How on earth could this have happened when everything that they needed to know, they already knew? We have one sort of epitaph. We have one more goodbye. One of the code talkers, Arsenio Smiley, has gone to the other side, as it is. We want to recognize what they did for the most part, disgustingly and shamefully ungrateful nation. They essentially won. America didn't win anything in World War II. The Navajo Nation did. And so on that note, I just want to also touch on Window Rock. That taking place at Window Rock. And on Pine Ridge, the Oglala Sioux tribe and activists scored a win when federal administrative judges ruled that the Nuclear Regulatory Commission staff had failed to take a hard look, in quotes, at cultural resources in recommending renewal of a uranium mining license for the Crow Butte mine, which is right bang up against Pine Ridge. Many of the pictures that we see of Pine Ridge in the background, that's Crow Butte. So this decision, as one might imagine, delays permitting and gives activists and First Nations a little bit more time to get their put their case in order, which they are doing even as we speak. And a farm in eastern Oregon near Pendleton is looking to add a new housing development for 200 to 800 seasonal workers. This is a great way to extend a city without actually saying that that's what you're doing. And two nuclear power plants in Illinois, they are shutting down after the legislature failed to approve a financial support plan. Ho, ho, ho! And now do we really need to ask if nukes are cheaper than everything else? And that doesn't even include the bill for cleanup. On the note of cleanup, good morning, Dan. Thank you so much for being with us today. Yes, Dan?
Yeah, good morning, Chris.
Good morning. Thank you so much for joining us today. These must be busy times for you. This is one of those classic, I told you so, or we told you so moments, where anyone involved with conservation or the environment is looking at the situation in Mosier, looking at what we have been calling bomb trains. Well, one of them went off. So regarding the cleanup and the politics of the cleanup, are we the taxpayers, I assume, are going to be footing the bill for this. What about the responsibility on the part of the railroad line? If they say it's a problem with tracks or something, how far back is this going to go? Are they going to be litigating this for the next 100 years?
I don't know the answer to that, Chris. Yeah. I think what's important for us right now is, you know, Union Pacific will make sweeping claims about its willingness to pay whatever bills come up. That's really, you know, even if they were, that doesn't make Mosier whole. What gorge communities are saying loudly and clearly, and what's really getting lost in all the talk about the spill and the cleanup, is the fact that communities want prevention of these disasters. And the only way to prevent oil train disasters is to prevent oil trains. There's no other way to do it. What we saw was the mathematical, statistical inevitability of moving oil along these tracks. You know, these tracks have been inspected weeks before, days before. And so what we're seeing is not the result of some failure that was unanticipated. We're seeing the predicted result of moving oil by rail. And so there are two things that we want people to be doing right now. One is standing with the city of Mosier, which is going through a terrible time. Still, their sewage system is offline. They have a temporary system up right now. The drinking water system was run dry, essentially fighting the fire, and so they're on a backup system. And right now, Union Pacific...
We're talking about the aquifer. Their aquifer is basically depleted. That's a shocking thing to contemplate, isn't it? And what about the quality of the water when that comes back online? Will it be the same? Can it be restored?
And right now, despite all of this, Union Pacific is running trains next to derailed oil cars that aren't even empty. They're running right now cargo trains next to cars they just pulled off the track that are full of oil, some of them, with pools of oil lying around on the surface. There's a video from our executive director up on our Facebook page at Columbia River Keeper, and you can see it there. It's just jaw-dropping. It's recklessness piled on recklessness.
And this is an extremely volatile type of oil, too. This is Bakken.
That's right.
This is the most volatile. And we have extremely hot temperatures where any small spark, we've got heat, there's friction, there's every possibilities of a great likelihood that another one of these would happen right away.
We're asking people to right now, today, you know, before we think about how to stop these things coming in the long term, to call Governor Brown at 503-378-4582 and ask the governor to stand with the city of Mosier and commit to using all the state's authority to protect people from oil trains. That means not allowing any state permit, any state lease for any project that would increase these bomb trains coming down the Columbia River Gorge.
Well, listen, I've just crossed out all the other questions I had. I want to ask you more about the fact that there are trains running How is that possible? I mean, that's a naive question, but what law? And why aren't other communities up there? And I drive up that along that train line all the time. There's all sorts of little communities along there. I cannot imagine there isn't massive public outcry when people awoke to find trains. You know, they're trying to go to sleep after this. What the hell is that? It's a train? No, that's impossible. How are they permitted to do that?
You know, Union Pacific is saying, you know, they have the right to move trains on their tracks. They have the tracks up to par for them, according to them, to move trains at 10 miles per hour. And mind you, this is next to tankers full of volatile Bakken crude oil that are lying strewn next to the tracks just feet away. We think it's reckless, and, you know, we're calling on the state of Oregon to do as much as they can to make Union Pacific respect the city of Mosier. The city of Mosier on a Sunday after this huge disaster had to hold an emergency meeting to pass a resolution calling on Union Pacific not to do this. And so, you know, this is a community that's been traumatized, that's trying to figure out its own infrastructure, and yet they're having to deal with recklessness piled on recklessness by Union Pacific. And so what we're asking people to do is to stand with Mosier and to support Governor Brown in standing with Mosier as well. Again, her phone number, 503-378-4582. That's her comment line. And so we encourage people to get in touch with her right away. And then in the long term, we need people to persuade Governor Brown, Governor Inslee, and all of our federal elected leaders to commit to using all of their authority to stop these oil trains from coming down the Columbia River.
Yeah, it's an unthinkable event, and given that it was 100% predicted, not predictable, but it was predicted. It was, and of course, this is the when part of. Yeah, it's not a question of if, it's when. Dan, and this is the very last few seconds. Can you just wrap that up for us in a couple words?
Yeah, I think what's important to realize about this is that this was a terrible event that could have been even more terrible. you know, if this derailment had happened in a number of other places very close by, it could have dumped much more oil in the Columbia River. It could have lit homes on fire directly.
So it could have, yeah. What people are looking at is a future of disasters. If this is permitted, in one case, it'll be permitted again. This has been, thanks so much. My guest has been Dan Sears. This is Cascadia for Monday, June 6th. Kate Welch engineered the show for us today. Thanks, Kate. Kathleen Stevenson, the KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts, know your rights, take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned. Locus Focus coming right up.
This KBOO program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Wilkin & Company, PC, Certified Public Accountant.